Hello, sports fans. Welcome back to another episode of Covered It, as brought to you by the boys from Quack Golf. That is the place. I said again. I said to myself that I wasn't going to say but we're back. I just said it again. Right. Every time I say on this episode, I'll donate a euro to my charity of choice.
But it's a bit fitting with Harrington in the Hall of Fame and all that.
Yeah, thanks for the prize. Okay. I'm joined tonight by our Munster rugby correspondent, Dean. Dean, how are you doing?
Good, Shani. I'm good. Very busy, but glad to be here. And hopefully I'm well prepared for the first time of my two features on the podcast.
Dean, we're all very busy. Like, we don't need the kind of cheek in the back chat, you know, like.
Sorry, I'm making time in my week for you. You're just making me busier.
I'm also joined by the king of quack, Mr. Ben Scott. How are we doing?
Good, Patrick. Feel like I've seen you more than my left hand recently, but all the better for seeing you once again. How are you keeping?
I'm good. Shout outs, lads, for tonight's episode. Any shout outs before we begin?
I just have one simple shout out. As lots of people will know, if they follow us on socials, we've been away in Denmark and Sweden. And just, we're not going to get into too much of it because we've got a bit of a video series coming out. But just a big shout out to the people of Scandinavia. They're a sound bunch of lads. That's all I'll say. Trustworthy. They're handsome. They make good golf courses. They make tasty pints. Yeah, just Scandinavia.
I'll second that.
Thumbs up for them.
Yeah.
How did you get on? It looked unreal.
It was unbelievable, Dean.
Yeah.
It was so good that I question why we weren't surrounded by more Irish and British people up there. Just seems a bit strange that it's not a pure golfing destination, especially because I think if you were to go to Portugal or Spain right now, it'd be too hot. Whereas up there, it was just absolutely perfect. 20 degrees. Lovely.
Yeah.
Nice.
Dean, any shout outs?
I don't really have any shout outs. No, actually, Mr. Steve Sweetnam, I met down in Fintonstown last weekend, and he was saying that he thoroughly enjoyed my previous appearance on the podcast. So, I'm sure he was just lying to me, but Mr. Steve Sweetnam, how are we? I come across him randomly. He lives quite close to me. So, every few weeks and months, I pass him on the road again this weekend. So,
Steve has been mentioned on the pod before. He's caught the golfing bug. What's his handicap down to now? Did you ask him the important question?
No, I don't talk about golf with people. I don't really realize it.
Fair enough. Of course, we should shout out Mr. Padraig Harrington for entering the Hall of Fame. Thoroughly deserved. I think his son presented him the trophy. I saw a few clips on Twitter. I think he's told the story about him almost losing the Open one too many times now, walking down the 18th at Carnoustie. But go ahead.
I was just going to say, what's the benchmark for getting into the Hall of Fame? Is it just merely majors, or like being a good storyteller, or giving back to golf, or like just they keep comparing like Brooks to Rory and to Morikawa. Look, they're all on four majors. Morikawa's back on two, and like once you win a certain number of majors, are you just guaranteed to be in the Hall of Fame? Because I feel like more majors are being spread around more post Tiger era, so it's going to be a busy Hall of Fame.
I think it'd be interesting to look at that question as to who's not in the Hall of Fame. Similar to who's the best player who hasn't won a major. Who's I assume Laura Davies is in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, the Dame, she must be.
I assume there's people in there that don't have any majors as well, like, that have just had kind of stellar careers and finished fifth every week for 10 years, like, you know.
Yeah, like your Brad Faxons and those kind of.
Does that get you in? I feel like the Hall of Fame is based on, like, you have to win a couple of majors to be in the Hall of Fame.
Nah, I don't think so.
I wouldn't think so. I'd imagine, like, a Lee Westwood would end up in there. I don't know if he is already, but, you know, someone with a big contribution to, like, Ryder Cups and, you know, would have been there or thereabouts for a few majors but never got over the line.
Well, you know what, lads? As we're talking about it, I'm going to Google it because neither of you are going to bother doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, I'm here for rugby. You can't expect me to Google golf things.
I guess course designers. So Tom Weisskopf, is he a course designer? I know he's also a player. Dennis Walters, disabled golfer and inspirational speaker and performer. Henry Longhurst, he's a golf writer and commentator.
Come on, a writer.
George W. Bush is in there.
He's not. Stop it now. He is. That's wrong.
This is pure just like contribution to the game and all that stuff. Yeah.
Are you serious about George W. Bush?
Yeah, I swear to God. Okay, here's a quiz question. 1, 2, 3. Now that Padraig Harrington's there, we have 3 Irish members of the Hall of Fame. Can you name either of the other 2?
Christy O'Connor Senior.
Yeah, correct. For all the points, Shani, can you name the other person? Inducted in 2007.
2007?
I think he might be the only Irish member of Augusta.
Oh, Carr.
Yeah, Joe Carr.
Who is Joe Carr? What does he do?
Well, I think he was an Irish amateur golfer before Carr Golf. He died in 2004 and he was the president of Mount Juliet Golf Club in Kilkenny. There you go. Yes, can confirm Laura Davies is there. Yeah,
I'm thrown by the George W. Bush though. As in, what does he have to do with golf?
Also,
most of his time in office, he spent playing golf, didn't he?
Yeah. Dwight D. Eisenhower. I wonder, will Trump get into the Golf Hall of Fame? Like, all he does is play golf.
Yeah. Who's Chichi Rodriguez?
That's a great name.
Anyway, okay. Moving on. My shout out, my official shout out is to the Irish government. I was having a pint last weekend and there was a bunch of youths, like proper youths, running around causing a muck, right? They were running into Mace and grabbing packets of crisps and throwing them around, and the poor girl inside Mace had to stand at the door to keep them out. Then they were running into the Indian restaurant and the two Indian fellas ran out screaming and roaring. They couldn't keep them out of the pub. They had nothing to do. They were just bored youths in Dublin. And I had just come from spending an hour and a half on the Chipping Green where, you know, time just passed by. And basically I was thinking those lads and the government should get behind, they should set up schemes to get those lads golf clubs and get them out chipping with me and I'll sort them out. They had nothing to do.
Shani, I've encountered a lot of youths on golf courses.
Youths?
I don't know if it goes very well. I think you would be cursing that if you had a lot of youths out on the links.
I am absolutely delighted that Scott Sullivan has joined the pod at this particular point. Scott, I'm in the middle of my shout-out.
Apologies.
I'm delighted you joined.
Apologies for being late. I was trying to make a couple of things work with work, trying to get onto this, and then I forgot that Dean Crowley was coming on talking about a bit of rugby, and I couldn't miss the opportunity here. Dean, have a good go at about Munster rugby. So apologies for being late, everyone. But who's the shout out, Johnny?
Scott, can you before I tell you what my shout out was, can you tell me a game that takes up loads of time? It's pure for the soul. It engages the brain. And it's good for the heart.
No, I can't, Shani.
Well, Kidley. It's golf.
Golf, sorry, yeah. Who on this podcast that it could be golf?
Basically, Scott, I was having a pint at the weekend and there was a load of youths causing trouble around the town. Nothing to do, bored out of their minds. And I was saying they should be out in the Chipping Green with me.
I caught the end of Ben's spiel, but I'm just going to jump on to Ben's spiel of you would absolutely hate this. And I really don't want that to happen because you then never shut up about all the people on the Chipping Green because you love when there's no one there and you can do your little putting drills and your chipping drills. So if they were all there, Shani.
I know, but I'm talking about government initiatives, Irish government initiatives. Like Padraig Harrington's just built a putting green in Marley Park. There needs to be more of that. There needs to be more youths with things to do.
Sure, that's why they have all those shitty outdoor gyms that no one uses. They're for the youths. Go off and work out or something.
or just do what most Dublin youths do and just get into boxing. I feel that I feel we're the best boxers in Europe half the time because they're just lads who are just absolute legends on the streets and then legends in the ring.
They did provide brilliant comical value. We were sitting outside a pub watching, and they were running amok.
Didn't think anyway. to go over and stand up for the poor girl in Mace or the poor Indian man. Like, you didn't think, go over there and just lay down the law. I'm Patrick Shannon.
I should have, but I'm only a small fella. So yeah. there was a gang of them. You know, there was about seven of them. Yeah. If there was three or four of them, maybe.
Maybe we need to get you off the golf course and into a boxing club.
Okay, lads. It's US Open week. We are heading to one of the Carolinas. I think it's North Carolina.
Right.
To Pinehurst Country Club. And the best players in the world are going to play one of the 10 courses there. The number two course.
Sorry, Shani, to interrupt you just quickly. Can I do one quick shout out?
You can, of course, yeah. You can, of course.
I know I was late. I'll keep it very quick, but it's real close to home. Was in the you'd both know this. I think Dean, you'll love this, but I was in my shout out is to Fergus Shanahan. Because I was in the hospital yesterday, getting a small procedure done, and afterwards the doctor was talking me through all of the results, and she happened to mention something, a specific drug, and I was like, oh, I happen to know the guy. I'm actually very good friends with the guy, the son of the guy who helped create that drug and sell that drug. And she was like, oh, no way. And then once I said Fergus Shanahan, the quote unquote was, no way, he's my hero. So Fergus Shanahan, you're getting a shout out from a random doctor in the matter private as you're that person's hero. So just what a legend, Fergus. Had a great week in Sweden in Copenhagen.
Yes, and now, Scott, I've been spending 33 years trying to get out of this man's shadow. And this is my podcast where you decide to do that. That's fine.
Not only were like, and I thought your thing was going to be golf, Shani, and he came to Sweden and played better golf than you. So like, you actually have nothing on your old man. He is just a legend of the game and a legend of the microbiology / anything to do with your lower intestines scene.
There was actually one round in Sweden where I ended up with 18 points. That'll tell you how bad I played. But I spent most of the round realizing that my time was actually better spent caddying for my dad on that hole to get him, say, 3 points instead of me trying to get 1 point. So that's how well he played out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, good shout out.
Miss you, Ferg. I'll text you soon, I promise.
Yeah, my dad, I met him the other day for a pint. He said, I haven't heard from Scott in a while. Is he all right? I haven't heard from him. Yeah, which, as if you two are best friends now.
Yeah, I might just do a weekly call with your dad, like a Friday afternoon check-in, being like, nope, how are things down in Kinsale? Tipping away, yeah.
Anyways, it's US Open week. We're here and we're going to do the US Open Pinehurst preview with a twist. The last three times that the US Open has been held in Pinehurst, 1999, 2005 and 2014, we thought that we would do a deep dive, or maybe a small brief preview of as to what happened in the US Open that year in Pinehurst, but also more of a deep dive into the state of Munster rugby in those years, as I feel it might be an interesting take going forward for every major. He's smiling ear to ear here. He can't wait to talk about the red of Munster. Dean, which year do you want to start at? You know, where do we want to go?
I think we're going to do this. We'll start at the start, Shani.
Start at the start.
We'll start in the 99, the 98-99 rugby season, but the 1999 US Open. Do you want a deep dive or do you want a high level summary?
So just before you start, do you have like who the winner of the actual golf event was first? Just to lead us off and then you can get started. Yeah, perfect. Let's go with that. 99, what happened?
99, our winner was Payne Stewart with a score of 1 under par.
R.I.P.
Wow.
Yeah, he died a couple of months later. Never got a chance to defend his US Open, so he was arguably undefeated. And yeah, died in a plane crash a couple of months later, which I wouldn't wish on anyone, to be honest. But yeah, that's the story of who won. Second place that year was Phil Mickelson, even par. And then two up-and-coming men in third
place. Sorry. Hold on there, Dean. You've absolutely derailed the podcast team here, which he died in a thing. And I'd also like to point out, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. What kind of comment is that? Yeah. I'm just looking at the screen here and the two boys are absolutely gone.
Yeah. I feel like the podcast can do that to you sometimes because you feel like you have to comment on something, but you don't. It's okay. Yeah. He died in a plane crash. It's fine.
I'm just trying to segue into my next point.
Like, look, exactly. I'll say he was on his way. It's very sad.
But something like he was.
I'm expecting you to go now. Go and also involved in that day was blah blah blah. Now I would wish a plane crash on him. You know, like I was like, where are you going to go with this?
He was on his way to the Tour Championship actually in that plane crash. Very sad.
Sorry, Dean. Back to your recap of 1999.
Sorry. So in third place with Vijay Singh and Tiger Woods, two up and comers who went on to have fine careers. And shout out for Darren Clarke, who finished 10th of the year and with a marvelous score of +8 on
I love the old school plus leaderboards in the US Opens. How hard
Yeah, nice even par winner, one under, you know, back like 99. Yeah. Nothing wrong with it.
Was he the only man under par? Was there
He was. He won it on 18 with a 15-foot putt for par. To avoid a Monday playoff.
I know we're going to segue into Munster this year, and I just wanted to Google Munster 1999, so I had a little bit of information for when I chat. Shani or Scott, I will give you €100 if you tell me what team Munster played a friendly against in the 18th of August 1998.
Like, it's obviously just the most random, like, I don't even know where to start. I actually don't even know where I'm going to guess. No idea.
Morocan.
That's where I was going to go. I was going to go like Shannon.
Listeners, if you were thinking Morocco, you would be correct.
What?
Played Morocco national team in a friendly in Thomond Park. Hammered them as well, 49-17. Anyway, Dean, go.
Dean, I hope he hasn't stolen your thunder there.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't going to bring that up. I thought it was a bit off.
There's Dean, like, absolute bastard. That was my number one thing to bring up.
Probably to that point, right? So there was actually no domestic league at the time. Okay. That's probably why they were pulling African teams to play in preseason. We just would have had the Interpro Championship, and then based on how you finished that, you've qualified for Europe.
Okay.
Which is interesting. So, 98-99 season was Declan Kidney's first year in charge of Munster Rugby. Mick Galway was our captain.
Of course.
And our team contained players such as Peter Clossy, Ron O'Gara, Peter Stringer, Anthony Foley, you know, the classics, the people you roll off the tongue when you think of the old school Munster Rugby. And then shout out for Mike Mullins, who, you know, spent a career with a socks around his ankles and just running hard lines at 13.
Mullins?
Wrong
Mullins.
With that.
Yeah. Were they professional, Dean?
They would have been, yeah. You're talking late 90s is kind of, it was a transition period, I think. Shout out to a Netflix documentary called Building Jerusalem, which is a good watch. Talks about the turn of professional rugby from amateur to pro in the late 90s, and it focuses a lot on the England team, which is they went on strike and things like that. There were some bizarre things happened, but it's a good watch. But it would have been the early years of professional rugby across Europe. And that year in the Highland Cup, we finished second in a group of Perpignan, Neath, and I would write a check for €10,000 to someone who can the next team that was in that group, apart from Ben, who's been Googling this year.
Who was this? Perpignan?
Where are they from?
They're from Italy.
Neath and Wales, which I presume are the Dragons.
Oh, Neath, the Ospreys. Neath. Yeah.
Ospreys.
Yeah, Neath and Swansea, yeah.
Neath, Swansea, okay. Ombres, yeah.
I can't even pronounce it, Dean, let alone know where they are.
Italian team? I can't
avoid it.
So it's obviously not Treviso or...
None of the classics. What? It's Cefilo Petrica Rugby Padova, I think.
I forgot about Padova.
That is mad. Yeah. Even the fact that the Ospreys weren't the Ospreys in 99 is mad.
Yeah, Wales only regionalized, I think, in the early 2000s.
Was there like Pontypridd as well? We're in the Heineken Cup
before. Pontypridd?
They were in Munster's group 1 year, like 2003 or 2004, was it?
Yeah, but you'd had kind of all the individual towns had their own kind of teams, whether they be professional or not, and then they regionalised, like the Ospreys were Neath, Swansea Ospreys, whereas Swansea would have been a standalone team, as would have Neath before that.
Dean, give me your thoughts on these attendances at Musgrave Park. 1,500 people went to watch Munster against Neath. That's fucking terrible.
It wasn't the Munster of today. You know, it was early stages.
You're talking pre Heineken Cup glory days. We hadn't even won away in France at this stage. Like this was very very early days. Like Irish rugby was very poor. Like
the attendances would have been at the AIL, I assume. Do you know?
Yeah. You're talking glory days of the AIL here in the late 90s. Like you'd have had 5,000 people at a game in Tullamore Park watching the AIL with Shannon and Young Munster or something like that. So, fun fact I did pick up from this year actually was Munster lost a quarterfinal in France, as was the done thing at the time, to Colomier. And the referee that day was Nigel Whitehouse.
Wow.
Any idea why that's relevant for any of you?
Is he Ben Whitehouse's dad?
He is Ben Whitehouse's father, yeah. Absolutely.
Showtime Junior.
There you go.
Apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Right, so that's it for 99 for me, guys. Anything else, Ben?
Just on 99, was there, I assume, seeing as we didn't have like a league and the Heineken Cup was so young, we didn't have the likes of Jim Williams, foreign. Yeah.
Yeah, we were a few years off that, so it would have been predominantly Irish makeup of the team. Yeah. We did win the Interpros that year, to be fair. Worth the shout out. So we lost both our games to Leinster, but we still managed to win the Interpro. So
one other question. Was there a fullback called Dennis Crotty? Reason why I remember that name is I think his brother was an orthodontist in Cork.
You're right, but you're wrong. His first name is not Dennis.
Dominic.
Oh, maybe the orthodontist was Dennis.
And he's Dominic Crotty, yeah.
Dominic Crotty.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you are. Scott cleared that up for us, yeah.
There you go.
That's me in 99. What's next? 2005?
Yeah. So 04, 05 is our next season. So I suppose we'll... Do you want to start with the golf or do you want to keep going the rugby?
Let's start with the golf, seeing as we're a golf podcast. Let's keep it golfy.
With also definitely listeners in Dublin, Ulster, Connacht, who are like anywhere else in the world.
They switched off.
And they're like, I couldn't give a crap about Munster rugby. But drive on, Dean. Drive on.
It's their own fault for tuning into a podcast before it has in Cork.
Yeah. It's true, yeah.
Although three of you don't know where Carrigaline is, so I don't know how relevant that
There's
is.
There's no golf courses in Carrigaline.
Dean, I know where Carrigaline is, right? It's near enough to Kinsale. Okay, that's if it's near enough to Kinsale, Dean, that's all of Cork. It's near enough to Kinsale.
Yeah. All over here. I'm from Crosshaven. Is that near Kinsale? It's around the corner.
And what golf club are you in, Dean? Yeah, Kinsale.
Kinsale.
So, pipe down there now, Dean. You go and do your gardening in Kinsale Golf Club, okay?
Yeah, that could be our next show, actually, for the people that turn off to cut the hedges in their own golf club. But the less said about that, the better, right? We could be here all day. Next we have the 04-05 season. So that year, our Pinehurst winner was Michael Campbell, a New Zealander, with another score of even par for the lads who are looking at a nice condensed leaderboard with some realistic scores. Any guesses for how much his prize pot was that year, guys? 04, 05.
The winner split or the whole?
Winner, yeah.
200,000.
Half a million US dollars?
No.
No, you're talking post Tiger here now. So the game has kind of come on a bit. It's in the midst of Tiger destroying everyone's.
Yeah, but hopes and we're 10 years on from that now. You probably get a million now, do you? So you probably got...
No, probably 3 million now, I'd say.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you get way more than a million now, but I was thinking back then, still only a couple hundred K, maybe 300K, 250K.
Yeah, that's just under 1.2 million, so 1,170,000 was first prize.
I wonder, does he still have any of it? Did you? I presume you checked that out as well.
I did send him an email. Yeah, I think it might be the time difference in New Zealand. But,
that's gas, though. We've got one over and level par as the, or sorry, one under and level par as the first two winning scores. I'm getting excited for this week if that's the case.
Yeah, Yeah, yeah. Second place that year was Eldrick Tiger Woods with a score of plus two. And then third place was a tie for three between Tim Clark, Sergio Garcia, and Mark Hendy.
I remember watching this one. I don't know if you young bucks ever... Do you remember Michael Campbell's one? No.
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 No. No.
Remember.
Probably worth calling out actually that year. They put up a bronze statue of Payne Stewart over the 18th green. And they put his victory pose from 99 on the 18th flag as a memory to him.
That's such class.
Following his death.
Can you name the only... I don't know if it's the only other golf course, but the other golf course with a Payne Stewart statue?
The old head of Kinsale.
Ballybunion.
Is the old head right?
No, I don't know. I just
it's Waterville.
Waterville.
Sorry.
I knew there was one somewhere down there, but I just couldn't remember if it was the old head.
Yeah, he's an honorary member in Waterville, I think.
We were all there about 6 weeks ago, lads. Like, taking your surroundings as you go forward, please.
All I remember from Waterville is watching Silk buying waterproofs for 7.5 euro. That's all I remember.
Allegedly.
Yeah, there's no proof except from the proof that I saw him do it and watched the transaction with his card go in the card machine. So.
And the haggling. The haggling was very important.
Yeah, cheap fucker.
Yeah. So, right, moving over to our monster element of this year, right? 04-05 would be, I've given this a title as the year before it all started.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was the fourth season of the Celtic League. Alan Gaffney is our head coach. It's the year after the miracle match. Our captain that year is the man behind me here, Jim Williams.
Sean,
legend.
And we've got a healthy string of kind of players from abroad that have come through and are starting to play for Munster. So we've Jim Williams, Sean Payne, and we have one of the greatest All Blacks of all time, Christian Cullen.
Oh, Christian Cullen.
Playing full back for us.
I didn't realize Sean Payne and Christian Cullen were in team same time.
Yeah,
both full.
Yeah, so you're probably looking at Christian Cullen without his shoulders, so he didn't play too much rugby.
He didn't, did he?
No, so they probably brought in Sean. I think it was probably the only year they overlapped.
Fair.
And it was kind of a replacement for Mr. Cullen, but a couple of young lads coming through to that team as well. You'd have had Barry Murphy. Who the following year put in one of the greatest 13 performances in a Munster jersey of all time against Sale. And Dennis Leamy, Dre Flannery, all coming through to that team as well, and obviously went on to do fantastic things for Munster in Ireland over the coming years.
Shani, you've also got a Manning.
Oh, Jeremy Manning.
Jeremy Manning.
Forgot about
him. And an Australian player called David Pussy.
Speaking about names, Alan Gaffney, he must be the only coach in the world where when you call him Gaffer, you're just calling him by his actual nickname.
If he coached in the Premiership in England, that might be, I think.
Yeah.
That's probably not too often used in rugby dressing rooms, I wouldn't think.
Gaffer.
Fair enough. Gaffer. What happened this year, Dean?
But following on from the previous one where we didn't know the names, like, I don't remember ever seeing a Scottish team called the Borders.
Yeah, Border Reavers. Yeah, that's where Stuart Hogg started his career, actually.
No way.
With the Borders, yeah. They were whipping boys of the Celtic League for a long time. My God,
the Celtic League.
You thought you got 1,500 people into Musgrave Park, like, you probably had them playing against up in front of 300 people on a Friday night. Losing by 60 points,
Dean, Wikipedia has corrected you here. When we played Borders, second last game of the season, they got 1,646. So,
allegedly, there's probably a lot of people in the Dolphin Clubhouse drinking points at that game. To be honest with you. We were second in the Celtic League that year behind the Ospreys, as they were then, and we won the Celtic Cup against Scarlets in the Old Lansdowne Road, which I believe. Maybe the photo behind me. I don't think. Actually, no, it's probably not. We topped our group, funnily enough, in Europe that year ahead of Cast, the Ospreys, and Harlequins. I think it was at all those home games as well when I was doing the research for this. I kind of cast my mind back to watching Christian Cullen actually scoring a try, which was a rare occurrence for one of the Brings you back as well to Alan Gaffney's great line when people were giving out about Christian Cullen and him not performing to his expected standards in the Munster team. And Gaffney basically just told everyone, no, Christian is playing incredibly well. It's just that the lads around him aren't used to it and can't give him the ball at the right time. Which was hilarious.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know, like blaming your caddy for not giving you the right club or something when you're playing golf, you know. An incredible thing to say. We lost our quarterfinal in Europe that year to Biarritz, which was in San Sebastian in Spain, but I think we more than made up for that the year after when we won the home up against them. So yeah, that's it for my 04-05. Any...
Who won the Heineken Cup that year, I wonder? Did Biarritz go on?
Don't worry, lad. I can tell you. The winners were Toulouse. They won 12-8 against Stade Francais after extra time. Freddie Michalak with the drop goal in the 91st minute.
Oh, what a name. What a man. What a boot.
Interesting to see where you're
going to come straight in on Michalak there, Scott. Like, if there's ever a man,
Freddie.
Oh, man of class. Just oozed charisma and class. Loved Freddie Michalak.
Yeah.
He was a poor man's Dmitry Yashvili.
And I see where we have the Ospreys now. We have the Scarlets and the Dragons. Yeah, but the Borders.
I love how the tagline for this week's podcast or the subject, it just has to be Munster, Munster, Munster.
Just while we're on 2005, in 2005, this is going back to golf, so Tom McKibben is making his major debut this week at Pinehurst. Would that be right?
Yeah, it is.
No, he won the world junior, like a junior golf championship at Pinehurst. But right. Surely it wouldn't have been in 2005, would it? He'd be far too young.
Who, Tom McKibben?
Yeah.
I'd say he'd be far too young, no?
Yeah. Okay, well that defuncts my fact. But he did win this in Pinehurst, so that's got to be juju.
Did you just know that Tom McKibben had won that in Pinehurst before and you shot in the dark that it might be in 2000?
Yeah, that's a big shot.
That is the most reckless shot in the dark.
For some reason, I was like, I don't know why that all ties together. And then I think he...
You said it so confidently without even Googling it in the background.
He probably would have been won in 2005.
That is such a shot in the dark.
Just to finish on 2005, I would say that probably was one of the best times in Munster rugby's... I don't know why you're all laughing, but I would say that was one of the best times in Munster rugby's lifespan, because if you think about it, we had just lost two finals and we just lost a quarter final against Biarritz, and it still felt that like the Heineken Cup was like the Masters to Rory McIlroy at that stage. You know, it just felt like the Holy Grail. We couldn't get near it. And when we did, it was snatched away from us. So it was probably a beautiful time, because I'd say that was just when we were picking up the amount of supporters that we have now. And it was still, we hadn't done it yet. You know, I'd say that was a bittersweet time.
Yeah, it was also that time period where, as you said there, because we hadn't won it and so on. And it was just an unreal time to be a fan when we actually did win it, which was class.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot better than now of like just watching every weekend hoping Leinster don't win. You know, it's a different kind of like drive each weekend.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's what I mean.
All right, Patrick, I was just laughing at Dean not wishing a plane crash on anyone.
Oh, God.
Too nice for my own good.
Do you know what, Dean? We've always said that about you. You're just too nice for your own good.
I was just going to jump in with something there, and I was like, I actually know this is going out to published media, so I probably shouldn't. But here we are.
Well, lead us off on 2014, Dean.
All right, 2014, right? So I'm going to start with the rugby here, and we'll go to Pinehurst, because the rugby was definitely, as I've jotted down here, the in preparation for the bad times. Because we started a kind of a transition out of the likes of Ron O'Gara, who retired the year before, Doug Howlett, gone with injury the year before, Marcus Horan was retired, Peter Stringer went to Bath, shout out for Scott DC, who was released that year, which is obviously a travesty. He should have been given the keys to the kingdom and the letter. Our head coach is Rob Penny.
Yeah.
You know, who again, you could argue should have been let, you know, had a few more years in the seat. He was trying to get us to play expansive rugby, try and get your Simon's Ebos on the ball as much as possible. With Casey Laulala playing 13, you know, we were trying things that probably weren't ingrained in Munster rugby. And at the helm, we had Ian Keatley trying to pull strings and link it all together, and it just didn't work. We probably overachieved that year. Got to a semi-final in Europe, won a quarter-final against Toulouse, and were faced with the Galacticos of Toulon in our semi-final in Marseille. I was at that game. It was an absolute masterclass from Johnny Wilkinson. He was incredible. 7 penalties and a drop ball, and that was it. Won the game. And like, for that team at that time, who were, you know, like every position, every player was a world-class player. Like, it was absolutely ridiculous. And for us to even contest that game was outstanding. Like, we lost 24-16. Zeebo scored a try off essentially the back of a maul, which is outrageous because he shouldn't have been anywhere near it. But yeah, Wilkinson was otherworldly that day. And obviously, you know, they won 3 Highland Cups in a row, and all very well deserved. Now, I know you can buy your way to victory, but that team was incredible, and watching them was amazing. Despite your thoughts on whether they should or should not have been there, it was an incredible, incredible lineup.
Fair enough. There you go now.
There's a lot there. Yeah, this seems like an interesting season. Was this, like, how many years had Rob Penny had the job at this stage?
I think he was only there for 2 years.
Yeah. I thought he was there for longer.
Yeah, and like, that was Peter Romani's first year as captain, like, to kind of put that in perspective, but where we are now with him just having handed it over and kind of the years that have fallen in between. Like, when you think he was a very young man back then, trusted to lead the team, and like, that job is just an incredibly difficult one for him. Like, I know you had the likes of O'Connell there for a couple of years and, you know, given a guiding hand, but that amount of changeover in those key positions just was very difficult for that team.
God, I used to love Casey Laulala.
Casey Laulala.
Oh, Laulala.
Yeah. Absolute baller.
Between the 3 years, is the manager lad, is it Niall O'Donovan? Was he there in 99 all 3 years? Do you know this? You always see him on the sideline. Big tall fella. He always gives you the jacket as you come off as a sub.
Yeah. I did notice as you go from 2005 to 2013, suddenly it gets very professional because you get a big, on Wikipedia, you get a big list of head coach all the way down to the operations manager. We're like, you just imagine rugby back in 1999, how you just show up at 4 o'clock, match kicks off at 5:30, make sure you have a banana before you go out, like, have a seat.
Yeah, kit man, the coach, and that's probably it. Whereas in 2014, you're probably looking at performance analysts, strength and conditioning coaches.
A rotation of which players' parents are going to do the oranges at halftime.
Shani, how did they organise it back then? Like, they didn't have mobile phones. Must have been
didn't mobile. Have mobile phones.
Stick it up in the hallway.
This is an inside joke, Dean, as on our recent golf trip. Shani kept asking the dads on the trip as how people socialized back in the day without communicating.
I'm fascinated by it.
Texting or calling and being like, last time you meet them, you know, if you see them on a street on a Tuesday, be like, I'll meet you down the pub at 2 o'clock on Sunday. And if they didn't show, they just didn't show. And Shani,
it'll come out in our Scandinavian recap pod, but I am fascinated by our parents' generation as to how they met up for a drink. Simple things. How did they get a job? Who rang them? Where did they ring for a job? Or, you know, if you were going to get a job offer, what happened? I'm fascinated.
You got a letter.
I think people in general back then wouldn't have been as flaky. Like, if you committed to something, if you committed to something, you went to it, like, because you couldn't really tell them otherwise unless you got out the yellow pages and started looking for their landline phone number.
Dean, I think you're dead right, Dean. I think you're dead right. If you're meeting someone for a pint, then that's it.
Yeah. There's no
You have to plan it on a Tuesday and meet them on a Saturday, and all sorts of stuff can happen in the meantime.
You'd be screwed, Shani. I get a text once a week from Shani being like, "Are you at home? Is anyone at home there? I'll drop into the house." He hasn't dropped into the house since 2004.
Okay, who won Pinehurst 2014?
Martin Keimer was our winner.
Martin.
Oh yeah, Martin.
He won his second major. Any guesses for what his first was and when it was?
I think it was the USPGA.
Yes. What year, Ben?
Was it in Whistling Straits?
2013.
It's Shani, yeah.
It was?
Yeah.
2013?
No.
2012. It's 2011. I was still in school. I'd bet on Dustin Johnson. 2012.
2010.
2010.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then he tried to learn how to hit a draw and his whole golf swing fell apart.
Which is the one where he beat Bubba in a playoff?
That one. Was that? Yeah.
Whistling Straits. Okay.
But not until this week, Scott, when his cliques claimed their first victory on the LIV Tour. Tell me that's not juju, good juju being passed across.
Did they claim their first? It was the first team win, though, right? It was Ortiz won it, didn't he?
Yeah. No, it was the other Spanish guy, but Blandy put the ball on his back, I think.
I thought it was Carlos Ortiz, was it not? No. Who's the other Spanish guy?
Was it not the Spanish guy who joined them as an amateur?
Oh, David Puig.
Yeah, did he not win?
No, I don't think so.
We're now officially a rugby podcast because we know nothing about golf.
Well, I just, the live ones, I just never know. It was Carlos Ortiz, wasn't it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Any more facts?
What was the winning score?
Yeah.
Winning score. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Winning score was 9 under par.
Wow.
So a bit more of a healthy win. He went wire to wire, which is probably worth a shout out. First round to fourth round, no questions asked. Led from the start right to the finish. Prize pot that year. Do I give that a guess? Given we did it earlier.
He surely won 2.1 million.
I was just about to go 1.8.
Johnny,
in between that
two, time. I was thinking 2 mil.
Yeah, 1.6. So your expectations, but
it's not keeping up with American inflation, I wouldn't say.
If they hosted it in Dublin, it would have been 4.7 million. How bloody expensive it is over here.
Yeah, but there would have been
Martin Keimer was a baller back in the day. He was a machine of a man.
He was so good. And then he tried to hit a draw and it all fell apart.
This is it. Well, he's in the field this week, Scott. We are back to Pinehurst, number two. It's going to be an interesting test because usually when I say US Opens, I'm going to guess if you're a golf fan, you think immediately to big, lush, high rough. But there's no real rough this week. It's just sort of wasteland, will we call it? Kind of sandy, I don't know, patchy.
Yeah.
Nearly like pine straw or something, Shani, is it?
Well, it's not, Dean, I don't think. To me, it doesn't look pine straw-y. It looks loose.
It's a little gorsey.
It looks, I'm going to call it wastelandy. And it's kind of like you could get a great lie in there and you could get a bad lie. So that'll be interesting to see who's going to bomb and gouge. And then they all have turtle top greens, I think is the way they describe it. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of runoffs and bump and runs. And they also have they've grown the fringes up slightly so that you can't putt from off the green. So, Scott, sorry, can't be doing that.
Yeah, I guarantee you they'll see a couple of putts off the green. But yeah, they do look very difficult. I've seen on the videos. And shout out to Dean, who has said that if Scotty Scheffler doesn't win it this week, that he will shave his head. So for all the listeners, next week we'll see if that happens.
Scotty Scheffler at like 2.7 to 1? Not great odds.
He's just so bloody good at golf.
I nearly put all 200 billies on him.
Yeah. Like, Dean, your hair will be there next week. You're safe. He's definitely going to win. But on the off chance, he doesn't.
Yeah, I'm just running down through the field, and I don't know if I should know this fella as a golf podcaster, but Willie Mack the Third, is he a well known golfer? Because that's the coolest name I've ever seen. Willie Mack the Third.
What odds is he?
Ben?
I've never heard of him.
Okay, good. I shouldn't know him.
Does he need an agent? I'm this guy.
Well, Ben, he actually doesn't win name of the tournament because we've got Eugenio Lopez Shakara. We also have him.
Oh yeah, he played in the last major, didn't he?
Did he? Okay.
Just on the on some of the odds, because Scottie Scheffler is at such short odds, you get more value in backing Colin Morikawa an each way bet. So you're better off backing Colin Morikawa to finish top seven than you are putting money on Scottie Scheffler to win.
I have no problem putting billies on Colin.
And so the only people it's not worth backing each way for more money is Rory and Xander. Everyone else down the leaderboard. So we're better off just backing each way bets than sticking money on Scotty.
Okay.
An interesting thing that I came across in my research was the last time this was in Pinehurst, they played the US Women's Open there the week after, which I thought was an interesting kind of
theme. Yeah.
I like it as well. It would definitely be of merit to look into them doing it again at some stage. I think, like, you know, obviously your difficult course setups and be able to match across the two tours would be interesting.
Your one win it that year? The what's her name? She was like a superstar.
Dame
Scott,
Michelle Wee.
I think she might have won it. Could be wrong.
I like how we're like on this podcast, there's obviously a lot of like Googling going on while we're talking. Just be like, oh, I just want to read up on things. You're looking to the actual winners, which is a good thing. I'm here looking up, when was the last PGA Tour event that Willie Mack played in? It was the Wells Fargo in the 5th of July, 2023. And he's only ever played in 7 PGA Tour events. So
our mate Shippers is back in the field from Augusta.
Shippers, Neil Shipley. Yeah,
Shipley, you can get him at a ripe 1,000 to 1.
Wait, is Shippers the guy that hit the golf shot from the Dunvegan?
No, that was the other guy.
Oh, he's in it as well, the guy that
Did you see another person hit a golf shot from the Dunvegan?
Yeah.
A bit of heat there during the week, wasn't there?
A lot of heat there, yeah. And it's funny, you see on Twitter, people are being like, well, didn't Eric Anders Lang and his group do it? Loads of people are like, I don't know, I didn't see that video, or I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Your man has nipped that so clean off the sidewalk. That is like...
unreal.
Rain coming down, like, well...
He got banned, didn't he?
Yeah, apparently he's been banned. And he's now selling merch through his Twitter. If you go onto his Twitter or Instagram, he has a link to like a merch of him hitting the shot.
It's fair enough. Like, I mean, at the same time, you can't just be raining golf balls down onto a course with people playing. Like, don't realize they're hitting the road.
You think
Depends on the time of day. I don't know, Neil.
You think the RNA would put their foot down when Eric Anders Lang like published it to 100,000 subscribers he has? Like, that's way worse than a random guy just doing it.
Yeah, like, it's grand doing it once and being like, right, okay, look, this was good and it's great for publicity, blah, 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 but like, please nobody else do this because it's incredibly dangerous.
Ben, your boy Brandon Robinson Thompson.
He's certainly not my boy, but I know of him. Yeah,
yeah. I've just heard you say his name once or twice.
Yeah,
they've really gone. Oh, sorry, I was about to say they've really gone heavy with the tee sheet, like the groupings. Like Rory's playing with Scotty and Xander. That's what a hard hitting group to follow. I'd say everyone's just gonna be following them.
I like that for Rory. I feel like he will respond to that.
As long as he just doesn't get into a competition of trying to hit it further than the two boys, because that's when he gets wild with the driver.
Yeah. How do we like Chris Pete Fish's chances? Chris Pete Fish.
Yeah. Saw that name.
Who are these people?
Santiago De La Fuente.
Yeah, he's a good ball.
Frederick
God,
Ketchup.
I'm excited. Frederick Ketchup. Is he Danish?
This doesn't look like a strong field at all.
No, it doesn't. I think we could have
called... Who's Logan McAllister?
Half these lads we were playing golf with in Sweden.
Yeah. You know, well, if you're talking about the field, though, like I feel like, okay, the Masters is the Masters. The PGA is actually technically meant to be the strongest field out of the four. And then the Open is let the weather decide the score. I feel like the US Open should be the one where, no, let's just, like, the greens should be absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. The roughs should be ridiculous. It should be so uncomfortable for these professionals that we get you know, if you shoot under par after 4 days, well done to you. But that should be it. It should be one under, two under. That's what it always should be. And we need to get back to that.
I'd actually go out on a limb, and for that reason, it's probably actually my favorite major. Like, I love the Open, obviously the Masters, the PGAs, I think, on most people's list as the bottom one. But I just love, I love that it's so difficult. And there's people on Twitter, and I can't remember who I saw, but there was a player came out today and said that the greens are like 50-50, like they're almost unplayable. Yeah. Love that. Like, I three putt from 6 feet, like on a regular occurrence, every three or four holes. I want to watch them do it on TV and be like, I know how you mean, you know. I want to feel like, that's why I love the US Open. I love when it's crazy and they're all coming, giving out, and they're like, oh, it's difficult. Yeah, well, shut up. You're meant to be some of the best golfers in the world. Go out there. And
yeah, but like Wyndham won last year 10 under. Like, oh, and Rory, like, it 9 under.
It doesn't always happen. And like we talked about.
There was 263s last year, Scott. Remember those?
Yeah, but
like, I don't want any of that.
But like the combined score of the PGA was like, what, the highest by loads. And like, don't get me wrong. Correct, they're just, they're absolutely... The golf that people are playing nowadays is just so good. They just got so good at the craft. They're like, the courses just can't keep up. But I love finding a week where someone goes, oh, this is almost unplayable. I'm like, well, it's not, because there's a hole out there and there's a ball out there. Go put it in it. Mm. So like, I don't care if it takes 17 shots or four. I just like, I like when they're really difficult, because I'm sick of watching golf events that are like 23 under, winners 22 under.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, they're just destroying golf courses.
Yeah.
It's nearly like when we were down in Waterville there and Shani tried to convince us that Scotty Scheffler, who is a generational talent, probably wouldn't have broken, what was it, broken par in Waterville because it was a bit windy.
Well, Waitley comes over for the Open and he plays in four club wins every day. That'll mess with his swing.
Yeah, I think you knew you were wrong.
But
on that
in general, the best majors are when the players are complaining and they're moaning. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, like I want to see like a John Rahm or a Tyrrell or like someone going to be like, this is ridiculous. This is just so hard. You're like, yep, love it.
Yeah.
You know? Well, you also don't want the Zach Johnson like bitching and moaning like we've lost the golf course crap again. Like, do you know what I mean?
You've lost control.
I don't know. I mean, like if Scotty's going to win by 7 anyway, I need to get some entertainment out of this golf event. So it's like a bit of bitching and moaning or a bit of giving out. Yeah. I don't know. I'd almost like it.
Go for it, Ben. You've been trying to get something in there for...
what I was just going to say, I'd like the look of Scotty Scheffler, 9-1 first round leader. That looks like a bit of better value than actually winning the thing. I think there's a good chance he goes wire to wire if he gets a good start. Are we concerned about John Rahm and his sore foot?
Does he have a sore foot? Does he?
Apparently had a cut between his toes and he had to withdraw from the last LIV event.
He's kind of annoying me these days, yeah. John.
I just want
to
play well.
Excuses and moaning and stuff.
Yeah,
I just want him to show up at the Ryder Cup every 2 years now and get me a few points, and then I don't want to see him again.
He's always been moany. Like, he's not one that is, you know, it's not just new since he moved to LIV. John Rahm was, what was the one, the competition or the event that was on the PGA Tour, and he came off and he was like, oh, this is just a fucking pudding contest.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? And it was like, well, do you know what?
Remember the toilet situation? He's giving it, there's no toilets on the course. So.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's just an owner.
Hampered.
He's really, really good at golf. And as you said there, Shan, I just want him to show up every 2 years, deliver a couple of points, and then go back to play LIV. Like, I feel the same way, Shani. Just, stop moaning.
Well, okay, so big shout-outs to, I hope Tom McKibben has a great week. Also hope Robert Rock has a great week. And Ben, would you be willing to put a few billies on another man just because I like the sound of his name and the cut of his jib? What about Matthew Pavon? Do you reckon he could do some business this week?
Normally I would say yes, but he's not in great form. He's
okay, Grant.
He's fallen off a little bit since his win on the PGA Tour. I wouldn't be putting any money on him.
That's why we have you here. That's fine.
A shout out, Dean, a shout Dean, out as well for Matteo Manassero.
Yeah.
Great to see him back as well.
Was he back?
Yeah, he's in the field. He's actually playing with Tom McKibben and Rico Hoey. I think Rico Hoey just won on his first Korn Ferry Tour event. No, he must have won his PGA Tour event.
350-1 if you want him, Dean. Matteo.
How much?
350-1.
All right. I'm still reeling here from Shani pulling Robert Rock out of the woodwork. But
Yeah.
350-1. I'll probably leave him. I'll probably probably sell that. But I'm liking the look of Ludvig.
I think
he's turning into a bit of a major machine. In terms of turning up for the big day. No, obviously he hasn't won yet, but he's performing when he needs to.
What's the story with his knee? Didn't he have a knee injury?
Reports from the ground are saying knee injury not affecting him anymore.
He's in the starting lineup anyway. Shani, have you seen who your boy Matthew Pavon is playing with? He won't get a word in for the whole round. He's playing with Sungjae and Siwoo. So, two boys are going to be chatting away about everything. He's going to be there in the middle of being like, Pourquoi? Say no, magnifique.
Pourquoi?
You know, so yeah. He definitely, or else he's going to focus so much because he can't do any chatting that he's going to be your first round leader.
It's the funniest thing about looking down through a field this is it seems like every time we get to a major, the funniest names are the amateurs.
Stuart Bloody Hagestad is back again.
Yeah. What about Gunnar Bruin? Where is he from? He must be from Norway, is he? Gunnar Bruin?
I don't know.
Gunnar Bruin.
Would you like to hazard a guess about how many majors in a row Adam Scott has played in?
Didn't he only just creep into this one? He only got a special invite to this one.
Yeah.
How many majors? Oh, I couldn't even guess. 42.
Nope.
More. It has to be more, actually, is it?
It says 23 years he's been playing in the majors, never missed one. Worked that out.
Whoa.
Jeez, 92, yeah.
Holy moly. I just assumed he would have missed one because of injury. You know the way that they always miss because of injury.
And he lost his game for a long time in the middle there. Obviously, he got into the Masters, like you always get into that and stuff, but fair enough to him.
Jeez, that really puts into perspective that lady on the LPGA that's like trying to pursue sponsors to get her in. It was after the last major, she was looking to start 60 in a row.
Oh, wow.
That was obviously a massive achievement, but geez, 92 is ongoing.
Yeah, yeah. And the women have an extra one. Like, she's doing 5 a year. Sling her up.
Can anyone...
No, Ben, we won't go on the...
Oh, sorry, Shani, you're... Oh, wait, no, that's first round leader.
Anyone want to guess where Gunnar Bruin is from?
He's American.
Minnesota.
He's from New York.
He's from where? York? What New was York. That? He's from New York.
Can you give me a New York accent?
New York. Is that what you're trying to do?
Nice, nice. He's from Excelsior, which I think is in New York.
Interesting. Upstate somewhere.
Okay. Lads, with our two, this is really digressive. It's just a conversation. With our 200 billies, I would like to put forward Bryson for at least 50 of them. Thoughts?
Yeah.
Why
don't we just take 50 billies each, as long as it's not Matthew Pavon?
Okay, Grant. You're going Bryson
I actually wasn't even aware we were doing billies on this podcast.
Bryson, okay. I'm going Bryson on the nose.
I like it. Okay. I like it.
Okay, so we give you the people and you take down the odds of whatever we pick, Ben, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Dean?
I'm going to do what you should never do when you're driving a car. It's hit the ABS button. So anyone but Scotty. I'm going to go with
Ludwig.
Does Max Homa win a major, lads? He's staring at me here off the sheet. I think Max Homa each way might be mine.
Yeah, I love that. Locked in.
Yeah. What is he? 40-1?
40-1.
I think it's good value there.
Yeah, I like that.
You're going all the billies on that?
Yeah. 25 each way for me.
Lovely. I'm going to go 10 billies each way, Ben.
Yeah.
On Gary Woodland.
Scott, it's just, you just get 50 billies. You don't get to divide them up.
Oh, I just have to put them on the nose.
You can go 25 each way, but I'm not writing down more than four names here. Or more than
eight. Lazy bastard. I'm just going to go 25 each way on Gary Woodland.
I can tell you now, that's not going to win.
Well, each way, I don't know. He's a solid golfer. He plays really well on difficult golf courses.
I'm going to be that guy who looks up Gary Woodland's data golf.
Do.
Are we doing a prize pot like 50 quid each and whoever finishes highest wins?
Yeah, I think
Dean, look, if anyone else other than Scotty wins, you're shaving your head, so I don't know what you're putting out bets for. There's only one bet and that's what that bet is.
Thanks, yeah.
Gary Woodland's best finish in his last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is T38.
Yeah, but that's all right. He's a former major champion. He's just coming back from. Did he have a brain tumor? He had something.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, Scott. I don't know where that can't be good for your golf, surely.
If that doesn't really. All right. Slow down, Matthew Pavon. Right. Okay. At least I'm picking a winner here.
Matthew Pavon's a baller.
Yeah. Sure. Look, that's where I'm going. I'm going 25 each way on Gary Woodland. And if this comes off, I'm going to glow.
What has Gary Woodland done for you lately?
I just know he plays well on. All right. Look. Shani, that's not. You can't say anything here, right? Some of the calls.
I just think that's a waste of Billy's. But anyway,
you're right. It is a waste of the fictitious money which doesn't exist. You're dead right, Patrick. Now you tell me which golfer you're going to pick that we're going to waste 50 Billy's on.
Well, I just need you to tell me first. Is there any reason why I shouldn't go 25 Billy's each way on Will Zalatoris?
His putting stroke is the only reason. But
yeah, his putting stroke. Just no, general demeanor. Okay, he might get blown away in the wind.
I'm okay with that. What's the story with his back? Is his back sorted?
I think his back's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just the back stroke is the issue.
Yeah. What are you getting him at, Shani? 60-1?
60-1. Throw it on.
I saw. Do you want each way or do you want on the nose?
Let's go each way.
Boring.
All right, Grant, I'll go on the nose.
10 places, 50 the odds.
Yeah, screw the each way. Just go full hog, Ben.
Which means screw the each way. He's like the highest odds. It's surely the best value to go each way.
No.
Gary Woodland came 10th in the US Open.
Scott, what odds with Gary Woodland?
I have no idea. I'm not looking up the odds. I'm just looking at up the field.
I'd say just write down your phone number, Ben. It doesn't really matter.
Do you ever get the whale
250-1, Ben. 250-1.
Do you ever get the whale trackers on Twitter for like finance to say like Nancy Pelosi has invested this much or whatever? No?
Yeah. I came
across one which is sport trade whale tracker, and it obviously alerts you of big bets that are put on. Someone has backed Christian Bezuidenhout to not win. He's put on $49,700 and he's going to win $294. So just for that fact, I would almost like to back Christian Bezuidenhout because I think that would be hilarious.
That is gassy, you know that.
That's how the rich stay rich.
It's a pretty solid bet, to be fair to him.
Yeah.
We got
the Billy's in anyway.
Billy's are in. Locks and loaded.
Okay. My highlight of this is that Ben's going to have to put a direction on the podcast being like, skip to an hour and 20 minutes in to get to the preview.
Can I tell you what else I'm excited about? We're coming into such prime. Dean, I don't know if you're much of a football fan. I don't think you are. We are coming in, like, we're about to have the Euro starting on Friday. We've got the US Open on. We've got three games of football every day, followed by golf in the evening. My girlfriend is going to lose it. Can't wait.
And we also have Netflix Tour de France Unchained Season 2.
God,
I know.
There you go.
How good life? How good living?
I know.
It's brilliant. Dean, I'm shocked. Dean, I'm shocked you didn't. I'm shocked you didn't stay in football, Dean.
The podcast.
I'm currently gripping a speed stick. Yeah.
The man never stops. Sorry, Scott.
I was just simply saying, I'm surprised you didn't stay in football. If I remember correctly from primary school, you had a wicked filthy right foot on you.
Absolutely. Used to enjoy playing it, but I didn't even know the Euros were starting this Friday. So.
Wow.
Ben is great. I am very far off the ball. Rugby is my certainly my number one, followed by golf at the moment. Probably then paddle is probably in third, tennis fourth, the local tiddlywinks the fifth. played pitcher putt 2 weeks ago, so that might be coming in sixth before football.
Dean, I'll see you in Thomond Park this weekend.
Are you coming down?
I am, yeah. I'll see you there. Bandwagoning for the semi-final.
Who are we playing?
What are you doing? We normally go for lunch in the lock beforehand if you want to join.
Are we still recording here?
That's an open invite to anyone.
Sorry, Dean. Scott, who are we playing?
Glasgow.
Should we beat them?
It's Thomond Park. We could beat anyone at Thomond Park. Now, right, Dean, come on, the boys in red.
I need Glasgow to win so Dean and Ian will show up to my party in 2 weeks. So
we'll still show up. We'll just be after the game.
I'll have my Scottish shirt on at the weekend.
Where's the open invite to everyone come to your birthday, Ben?
It's on the way. I'll stick it up, Ben, on Instagram later.
The address for the party is...
people that are left to lunch in the locker on Saturday, so...
All the listeners, the address for the party is Dean's House, Myrtleville, Cork.
That's the ranch, Kilbritton.
Okay, right, are we wrapping up, or what's the story? Yeah.
That was a pleasure.
Pleasure, lads. Enjoy the US Open.
Let's go, Gary Woodland.
Anyone but Gary.